Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos-Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I don't know. We've had our discussions, you know, individually in a room or on the field. He loves football, and he's smart. So those are two things that I immediately gravitate towards. And he's got a good presence about himself as far as handling all the stuff that a quarterback has to handle in the NFL. So, yeah, I think we have a good relationship. I think we're a lot alike in some ways. But, you know, he's fun to be around and enjoyable. I enjoy our conversations, and I enjoy the person.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, tied at the hip here as they both try to, save and resuscitate careers at the same time. All right, good morning, everybody. Yes, we are laboring here on a Monday, Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Hope you have the day off. If you have the day off and you're getting up, what are you getting up for? Go back to bed.
But listen.
Go back to bed.
No. Get up. Have some coffee.
Yeah.
You know, start the day.
Start the day?
Carpe diem. Yeah. Get on it. Seize the day,
so
Mike.
So you got these people. You got these folks out there who are, unfortunately, I guess, that if you're conditioned to getting up at a certain time, are you one of these times?
Yes.
That, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's the weekend, a holiday, you're on vacation somewhere, you're going to get up early.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You can't just say, okay, hey, I don't have to get up early today. I'm going to sleep in. You can't do that?
No.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
See, you're like a child.
That's a tragedy.
You are like a teenage child.
Uh-huh. How's that?
Because you got the weekend. Oh, it's the weekend. You can sleep till 9 or 10. What's the latest you slept in your adult life?
In my adult life?
I'm not talking about, you know, bender with your buddies and, yeah, you know, or whatever. I'm like, in your adult life.
Probably about, 9:30. Most weekends, I can just... Now, normally what will happen is I'll wake up around the time that I would normally wake up.
Right.
Take one look at the clock and go, bleep that.
Not even.
And go back to bed and sleep till... Yeah, usually about, weekends, normally about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, no, not me. I sleep in, but it's I'll sleep until 5:30. Instead of waking up at 4:30.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you got a weekend day and you're up at 5:30 with all that day to fill?
Yeah, you got a lot of, I'm still going to go to bed early. But you got it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, all right.
Absolutely. Okay. You gotta get up and get going.
All right. Well, hey.
By the way, have you ever heard Vic say, I don't think we have a good relationship? He says we got a good, he's like a doctor that just performed surgery. Had a successful surgery. That was awesome in there. Vic said, yeah, we don't have a good relationship. He's always patting himself on the back for how many good relationships he has. Ever notice that? Am I the only one that notices that?
What are you going to say? Yeah, he's my starting quarterback. We just don't seem to click.
Why do you have to say anything? Yeah, I like Teddy. He's really good. I need to start patting myself on the back for how good I am at relationships. By the way, we got a great relationship.
Okay, I'll file all these comments away. I'm sure the Broncos are as well as they get ready for your arrival on this weekend to talk to them. And,
can't wait. I don't know. Just whatever. We got a great relationship. Didn't he and Juwan James have a great relationship?
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
I'd like to go through. I'd like to go through since he's been here. How many great relationships he has.
I don't know if he ever talked about that relationship.
We got a great relationship.
Well, it is upon us.
Uh-huh.
Game week is upon us. Here it is, Monday. Sunday, the Broncos kick it off. Are we of the same mind? I almost even have D-Mac acknowledging that this is a must-win
versus the Giants. If you are going to shock the world and be a playoff team this year,
right?
You have to get off to a 3-0 start, don't you?
Oh, I believe. Yeah, I believe. 2-1 at least, 3-0 would be, again, now, 3-0. Against these.
It'd be a playoff team.
Yeah. Now, I've told you how complex the Giants defense is. And how much, you know, trickeration they have and how many different looks they have and how they get to, you know, how they get to a lot of things. Obviously, you don't see that in the preseason, Mike. Why? Because they're just playing technique. It's all about execution. They're trying to find the best players. Watching them in the preseason, you know, watching them play a bunch of, you know, just playing man, doing some things that are pretty typical. I got my guy type of stuff, right? And seeing if you can play that because they're looking for guys that can do those things. So you're not seeing a lot of complexities in the back end, but this is a team that's got some, they've got some issues now. They, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they got some issues
up front. Especially.
Oh, yeah. Up front. And then, you know, their quarterback still gets to the point where he is like, if he's got a concept on, especially when it's a single receiver side, like a tagged concept, like X dig, like X comeback, like X out, you know, whatever it is. And that's where he wants to go because that's where he thinks his best matchup is. You want to talk about a guy that will not look people off, that will not hold rotation, that will tell you where he's going with the football? That is Daniel Jones.
So all the criticisms and complaints that we've had about Drew Lock apply to Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
a lot of the same
issues as a young quarterback. I think he still moves from, you know, if it's, you know, a two-man side and two-man, like a two-by-two formation doubles, you know, he'll get from one side to the other. But if he's got a tagged route on one side where that's his best matchup, he's just waiting on it until it comes up. It's not like, hey, man, I'm going to hold the safety or I'm going to sit with my eyes over here so the corner doesn't play it tight because I know I'm coming back to it. Like Aaron Rodgers, he knows he's got a tagged route with Devontae Adams on one side and he knows that's where he's going on third down and six. I mean, it's without doubt, he'll look the other way, knowing exactly where he's going to throw the ball without even thinking about it. Daniels is laser beam, tractor beam.
All right, well, that's good. That's a good start. And I'm curious, and for those of you who are up and joining us early this morning, thank you. But I'm curious if you view this as a must game. Now, from a just purely record standpoint, yeah. You know, can you still be 2-1 and still be, you know, in it record-wise? I guess. But I just think that after the offseason that this team has had and all the positive talk and all the improvements, roster improvements, defense, feeling like they got the right quarterback, all this, the urgency that they've admitted to, I just think it's a bad look if you go out and lose to a Giants team that just isn't very good. Never mind record. I think it's just about making a statement.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Broncos country out there that thinks this is a layup. This is not an easy game.
Well, they're favored. I mean, they're a 3-point road favorite.
Yeah.
How many times have the Broncos been a road favorite over the last few years?
Not very often. But I'm just telling you, this is not a layup.
All right. Well, Mark has been putting in the work. He's doing the game this Sunday for Fox. He's begun breaking down the Giants. What does he see? What about that Giants defense that is formidable? He'll tell us next.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Larrithan Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, got people already checking in. On the RamosPod.com text line, here's one. Holy cow, what are you two doing up and working? This is a pleasant surprise for all of us that have to work on Labor Day. So glad you guys are back.
I never really looked at Labor Day as like a day off. You?
I mean, if they offered it to me, I'd take it, but
well,
I don't
care. Sure. I mean, I'm not
I don't care. I'm not sitting there saying, "Oh, what are you doing for Labor Day? Can't wait. I'm going to do some yard work. What are you doing?" Right? I mean, Labor Day. Going to work. Laboring.
Someone said, 6 a.m. listeners? They don't take days off.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Good point.
Millennial Blake says, holidays are for whining crybabies like Paxton Lynch. KJ behind the glass today, doing a great job. Millennial Ben, off.
Although,
good thing Millennial Blake came through there, because otherwise my opinion of millennials would be cemented.
Well, no. I think Millennial Ben was, I think he was on the phone with KJ working through some. Was he on the phone with you this morning working through some stuff?
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, that was Millennial Ben?
On his day off, on Labor Day.
Oh, then I take that back.
Right, right. Millennial Ben, well, you know, I mean, they were chatting it up. Making sure things were squared up, making sure he had the Smear Paxton Lynch drop
there
ready to go.
He was ready to go. All right. Thank you very much there, KJ.
Yeah.
The Rock would be up. The Rock has been putting in work for hours already.
Yeah, he did. That's one of those guys. Now, there's some people, I'm not wired this way. You know, some people don't need sleep. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't need it.
You know, some people just are fine, like 4 hours a night or whatever. I'm not wired that way. Yeah, that dude, I don't know that he sleeps. I'm not put together that way. I gotta get some sleep in.
Papa Bear needs.
The grizzly needs to be in.
He needs his hibernation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones looks like a vacant Ken doll, says this texter.
A vacant Ken doll.
Vacant Ken doll.
I need to write that down.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over well with Giant fans during the broadcast. You know, who are you working with?
Adam.
You know, Adam, sometimes I look at Daniel Jones and I see a vacant Ken doll.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Check Twitter in 3, 2, 1, boom. All right, so you've been breaking down the Giants. Like nobody else in this town will break down the Giants, so nobody will have a better feel of what the Giants can bring than you will. So, all right, let's start with Daniel Jones. You talked about how he still has some of the same things that plague Drew Lock. You know, sometimes getting locked in, zeroed in on one receiver. Mm-hmm. What does he do well?
Mm.
If you're the Broncos defense, what would you be worried about with this guy?
Well, he's an incredible athlete. And you see all the zone read stuff that they ran in the preseason without him actually carrying the ball. So, like, you have to be very careful, especially in the red zone, of him becoming a run threat. Of him becoming, you know, that extra guy. And then all the play action stuff that comes off of that. So, they did a bunch of this in the preseason, Mike, which they never actually had him keep the ball. They always handed it off, regardless of who the back was, whether it was Booker or whether it was Penny or whoever it was. I think there's a kid named Clement. I want to say his name is, but it doesn't matter. Whoever it was, they 100% of the time handed it off. He was like, he keeps the ball and he's got gaping and he can run now. He's a big, strong, athletic kid. And then all the play action stuff that comes off of that, because that is really, you know, when you talk about from a defensive perspective, that is really hard to maintain your responsibility when you see that action. It's hard, like, one, it's hard. You want to squeeze that running back because that's the history of this league, right? Quarterbacks hand it to running backs. And then all of a sudden you're outflanked by your quarterback who keeps the ball. Then the other thing is you want to jump on that stuff because you want to stop and defend the run, and he gets to the edge. There is a lot. I mean, there is a lot of opportunity for both run pass. The RPO game is really strong. They've had a lot of injured receivers, but they've got some guys with speed, and you know, that are good players, and their tight end is an exceptional. You know, we've had trouble covering tight ends
Evan Ingram.
Forever. Yeah, Evan Ingram is an exceptional
athlete. There is no, there, I mean, he's one of their best athletes, and he is one of those guys that'll carry the ball on jet sweeps and things of that nature. He's not always where he's supposed to be. So he does make some mental mistakes along the way, but that's a guy that you have to, that's a guy that you have to mark when they break the huddle.
So I'm going to kind of use your own words and philosophy against you. So you're talking about Daniel Jones and all the things he can do with his feet. Absent in all of that is what you keep always stressing, you know, the 70-30 nature of playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 30% of the time, that's great if you can do some things out on the edge. But 70% of the time, you just got to be able to carve people up from the pocket. And I didn't hear any of that.
Yes.
So this guy still hasn't gotten to that point where he's just operating, owning,
right,
and just dealing from the pocket.
Yeah, if his he would be the same. I have the same kind of basic standard issues with Daniel Jones that I have with Drew Lock in a certain, like a certain part of him, where if his first read is open, he's got big time arm talent. Like he can get it there now. But if he's got to get off that, he hangs a little bit too long on it. Like he does not get from one side to the other with the mental acuity that, like, it just takes him a tick longer. And behind that offensive line, behind the struggles that they've had in the preseason, I mean, it's a revolving department store door over there, and they are playing, which I hate, but this is a Joe Judge thing. They are playing, they're mixing guys in. They're like, hey, we'll throw this guy. Let's see what he does over there. Let's do it. So, they're just, both edges are a mess. Their inside guys are somewhat of a mess. And it is one of those things when you watch it on film, and I think this is a communication thing. When you watch them on film, the mental mistakes, like not knowing where your help is, not understanding where your help is, that's an issue. That's an issue for them. And then how many times did I watch them over the course of preseason leave their two tackles on islands? Like, you know, we're just going to go basically 5-0 or 24-25. We've got the four downs and the Mike linebacker, right? And meanwhile, your two guys who are really struggling are just on the edge, really struggling. So there are some things this defense should be able to take advantage of, should be able to attack and do well against.
All right, coming up, KJ's running the board today, so we did not give him the responsibility, the burden of putting together the brew. So we will not do the brew today, but I do want to talk about the weekend that was in college football and why we got a reminder of how much we have missed college football. That, and Notre Dame got a big win, but their coach is in hot water? Why? Tell you next.
Ball security is job security.
Win free groceries for a year. That's what's on the line in this year's King Super. Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Larrington Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Did you watch any college football this weekend?
I did. I watched Joel call that Ohio State game. And then
That was Thursday.
That was Thursday.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weekend.
And then not really, but okay.
Okay. And then I watched a little Joel on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then I had it on the background a couple times.
Okay.
But I was pretty much in my yard all weekend.
Yeah, I actually saw a lot more college football than normal. You know, maybe, you know, with the NFL not being on, but it was great. It was great. Yeah. I watched,
I watched CU too, by the way. CU Northern Colorado.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that game because I was at a high school game Friday night. The Friday Night Lights in Golden and Green Mountain played. That was fun. Good football game there.
So congratulations to
Golden.
Lost.
Golden won.
I could tell by the way you.
The Golden Demons.
Good football. When you say good football game, it was just like I knew it. You guys lost.
Yeah.
We did.
It was a good game though. Good game. Good high school game. Good high school atmosphere. And I was following. So CU gets the win. Now they get Texas A&M this weekend. That ought to be fun.
Uh-huh.
CSU lost. South Dakota.
Jackrabbits. Those Jackrabbits.
Ooh, Ram fans are already on our guy Adazio.
He may not have enough dudes.
He probably doesn't have enough dudes.
He may not have enough dudes.
No, he didn't have enough dudes.
I mean, people are like calling for his immediate firing and this and that. Not good.
No.
But the, well, here's a little bit of Adazio, by the way. You have that, KJ? Here's a little bit of Adazio. Trying to explain what happened. Here you go.
I said here from day one, you got to be able to stop the run, and you got to be able to run the ball. We did not stop the run the way we should have, and we did not run the ball the way we should have. You know, obviously, I don't feel like, you know, we played at the level that we were capable of playing at. I give credit to the Jackrabbits. I thought they played played like we knew they would play. They're a really good football team. They've got you can tell they've got a great team culture, and they just played hard. You know, the game was an interesting game. And, you know, we had some offense. We ran a bunch of plays. Our time of possession was fairly close. We had more first downs. But, again, that's an example of why you got to be able to run the football.
All right.
And you got to be able to stop the run.
Yeah. They averaged seven. They're already. The vultures are already circling.
Well, I mean, that's the way it's going to go. Well, especially when you play down a level of competition. I can't imagine the CU Buffs really happy with their performance either, because I mean I thought Northern Colorado said I mean defensively they didn't have a lot of answers early. Northern Colorado should have probably played to a 0-0 tie in the first half, and a penalty, a late hit out of bounds penalty, gave them another opportunity on their first touchdown drive. But I thought Northern Colorado and Eddie Mack, and listen, there are no moral victories, I understand that, but I thought their guys weren't intimidated. I thought Northern Colorado, you know, athletically doesn't match up everywhere with them, but I didn't think they were intimidated at all. I thought they went out there and they tried to be tone setters. So I'm sure Carl Durrell is not happy with his team's performance.
Probably not. But all that matters, if you come out and beat Texas A&M this weekend, That's all that will matter, because that's the marquee game. But it was great to have college football back. You saw once again the I'm an NFL guy. I prefer the NFL. But one thing I will always give college football, man, the NFL can't even come close to matching the enthusiasm, the pageantry, the passion. I mean, it just doesn't come close.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it multiple occasions around college football. But what is kind of grabbing the headlines were comments made by Notre Dame football coach Brian Kelly after his team held on to beat Florida State last night 41-38 in overtime. It was a terrific football game, very entertaining. So he's doing the quick on-field interview with ABC. And do you have that one? Okay, so here's what he had to say.
Yeah. What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
You know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
And he said we just didn't execute very well.
Yeah.
Now, okay, context is necessary here. And I know that in today's, you know, headline-grabbing world that we live in, context usually gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to be funny. Okay.
Right.
He was trying to channel back during the Tampa Bay Buccaneers inaugural season in 1976 when the team went 0-14. John McKay was the coach. And after a game, he was asked, what'd you think about your team's execution? And he famously said, quote, I'm in favor of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Right.
Kelly, trying to be funny,
yeah,
just went all executed. He started talking about my team needs to be executed, this and that. So predictably, he was taken aback afterwards because it immediately created a lot of reaction. And he said it's an old John McKay quote. I was kidding. It was tongue in cheek. It wasn't funny? Question mark. I was talking to make a joke about it. It was taken serious? Are you people crazy? And then at the end he said, I was stealing one of his old quotes and being funny because nobody likes to be funny anymore. If you want to take me to town on that, please do.
Yeah, he didn't do it very well, but I understood it. I'm not an idiot. I remember the John McKay quote. I remember that like it was yesterday.
That's a famous quote. It gets brought up all the time. We bring it up at least once a year.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it. It was hilarious. It was just the dryness of which he delivered the line. So, yeah, it's probably one of those things that I don't know about, it probably popped into his head and he's like, yeah, this is funny. And, like everybody has the context. Well, listen, man, that happened in 1976. Unless you do what we do for a living, very few people remember that. So he's saying it. That takes him back to like you and I, back to our childhoods, oh, that was a funny line. And so he's trying to channel his inner John McKay. It popped into his head. It sounded funny. He said, sometimes you say something that sounds really funny in your head, and on hindsight, you're like, probably didn't work out that well. It's how I alienate, famous people all the time. In my head, it's really funny. Maybe not so much to them.
So you think he's going to come out with some kind of...
No.
And should he?
No.
No.
He shouldn't, not at all.
No.
If you can't handle it, that's on you. Right? I mean, come on. If you're gonna get your panties in a wad over that, give me a break.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I think the only thing you have to, accuse him of or criticize him for is not being able to read the room and understand that. That is a comment that's gonna create a bit of a firestorm and probably just stay away from it. Why do you need the extra heat?
Well, you don't.
You don't.
No, you don't.
So you probably should be aware enough to stay away from it. But once you kind of blunder into it, should people understand what he was trying to convey? They should. Will they? Will a lot of people? No.
No.
They'll be up in arms about it.
Right.
Because that's what happens these days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, want to get to some of your texts. Is this a must-win for the Broncos coming up on Sunday against the Giants? You got some impressions of what you saw college football weekend. Share those with us next.
Happy Labor Day, Denver. Getting you set for Broncos-Giants in the regular season opener this Sunday. Here's Larrithan Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Yep, we're here. Mark's working on Labor Day? Someone forgot it's a holiday, be honest.
It's not a holiday. Labor Day's never been a holiday. There's certain things that I don't look at as, because I've got this football guy. Yeah, football guy. You don't get holidays during the football season. Easter? That's a holiday. Well, that happens on Sundays, right? So it's a holiday, but it's not a holiday. But not like a day off holiday.
Correct.
Labor Day is football season.
Sure.
You're working.
Sure.
Thanksgiving is football season. You're working. Christmas is football season. You're working.
New Year's, hopefully, you're working.
Yeah, so that's never changed for me. I mean, I went from, I did that in college. When we were in college, we'd play the playoffs. 1AA playoffs started like Thanksgiving weekend. Keith Gilbertson, one of my head coaches. I had Dennis Erickson and Keith Gilbertson. Great, just good friends, great men.
At Idaho.
Okay. Keith Gilbertson would say, hey, it's just going to be like a day in the pros. Day in the pros. That was our deal. Day in the pros. Little did we know that pretty much nobody plays in the pros. But yeah.
From Idaho.
Yeah. Very few.
By the way, I was looking at games over the weekend and thinking about maybe, get a little skin in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found one that was Idaho State. And I almost just to try to be a funny guy, almost called you and said, what do you think of Idaho State's chances?
I would say they're not good.
Idaho.
I know, but
I was going to get you upset. I was going to be like, that's not, I didn't go to Idaho State. I went to Idaho.
No, I know what you're trying to do, I would just say I would not bet on Idaho State. I mean, they're not any good.
No. Kristen Olympia, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
5 a.m. listener.
Okay.
Because they're an hour behind. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong. Everything is wrong with the quarterback battle for the Broncos, and it can be explained by the ownership situation. Only owners and fans have the same timeline for their view of the team. This is why fans want Drew Lock. Long-term success, 10-plus years. While that may seem obvious, no one in the building has a 10-plus year contract or timeline with the team. Fangio's basically 1 year. Even the long-term contract of Peyton is only six. Only fans and owners view the team in the same fashion. That true?
So they only view it as a long-term kind of relationship is what you're telling me.
Fans and owners.
Fans and
owners. Tend to look at it more in the long view.
I think that part is true, but I think you're wrong about the GM. I mean, what's the GM's job? The GM's job is to try to build the best football team he can or she can, and whilst, what you talking about, Willis?
Wow, somebody got pretty full of himself with the words he was using last week. Yeah. So you're right out of the box, Corey.
Right.
Whilst.
Head 2-4. Eternity. Anyhow, while. Yeah, you don't even have to put a whist.
No, just
while. On the end of it.
Let's go while.
You just don't have to even go whist. Whilst. Building for the future, building the best team that you can build, building the best roster that you can build so that you have players that you're developing that will be the future of your franchise. So the GM has that in mind. He's got the 30,000 foot view that he's looking at. I mean, don't you think that George Payton looked at that?
But if you have the GM are coming in, and let's face it, you're taking on this job because the sense is that this thing needs to be, if not rebuilt, certainly needs to be added to, okay?
Right.
And you get a six-year deal. To me, that immediately implies longer-term view.
Six-year deal in the NFL is an eternity.
It is.
And that's...
So...
Oh, well, I was going to do math. That's like two-thirds of a decade.
But basically. But what you're... But if
that's 6 out of 10, is that 6? 2 goes into 6.
No, don't do this.
No, I'm just trying to figure it out. How many is it?
It's an off day for a lot of people. They're trying to just relax.
2 goes into 10 5 times. 2 goes into 6
3 times.
3/5.
Talk about.
Okay, good job, KJ. KJ didn't even wait for us to get to what are we talking about.
Three-fifths.
E wants to know what the heck are we talking about.
London. Oh, God.
Why don't you just...
I don't know. I knew
let it go.
But
let it go.
Two-thirds and 3/5 are almost identical.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a gallon of milk weighs a gallon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just science.
Yeah.
So... But I think Chris in Olympia, Washington has a point. I mean, this is why I disagree with the quarterback decision because of the motivation behind it. And I understand the motivation, but the motivation behind this move is Vic Fangio understands that he's coaching for his job. And if he's going to go down, he's going to go down with a veteran quarterback rather than a wild card young quarterback like Drew Lock. It's why Bridgewater's the guy, but I just don't see any potential whatsoever for Teddy Bridgewater to be the guy long term here. I am skeptical as to whether or not Drew Lock could ever be that guy, but I still hold out some belief he could be. But if you're George Payton, you should be putting your foot down and say, look, I'm more about the long term picture. I want to see Drew Lock play quarterback because I can't really move forward with my long term decisions at quarterback until I have some clear-cut answer. But instead, we're going with trying to do what? Just give Vic Fangio a chance to save his job over the first month of the season? I mean, that just doesn't seem like it's in the best interest of the franchise.
Well, one, you've seen 18 games of Drew Lock. You've seen that. But you've studied that. You've seen that. You see what it is. You see you gave him plenty of opportunity in this preseason, and you saw the same things they're going to cost you. It's the negative splash plays. It's the lack of attention when it comes to, or lack of understanding when it comes to protection. It's the not sure exactly where I'm protected, where I'm not. It's the hold the ball too long theory. So George Payton is saying, hey, listen, Vic, go save yourself. But there will come a time. How many games do you need? I know, I'm sure that DMAC has a dictum or a addendum.
He totally betrayed his dictum. His dictum was 37 games.
37 games?
37 games for Drew Lock or any quarterback that you commit to. You got to give him 37 games.
Why 37? Does that feel random?
It's. Well, do the math. 37 games is basically 2.5 seasons, right? Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to do math.
All right.
It is. It's 2.5 seasons.
Basically. And right there at the 2.5 season mark. So essentially.
You don't think you know what you got after 2.5 years? Now the question is, because Locke didn't get the benefit of 2.5 years.
Right.
Locke had what, a year and a half? Right? What, he's got 18, 19 starts?
He's got 18 starts.
18 starts, so he's got basically a year. I don't know if that's enough. But if you're in the business of trying to develop your young quarterback and you look at Drew Locke and give him the kind of patience that you would give a first round quarterback, I mean, your first round quarterback's going to get more than 18 games.
How many games did Paxton get?
Okay. There are always outliers. Okay. But you're really going to put Drew Lock in the same category as Paxton?
No, but I'm going to say if you're making the same mistakes, you've been around for 3 years. This is the second year in this offense. You played in the easiest year in the history of the National Football League with no fans, no crowd noise, none of that. I mean, I understand that you didn't have preparation because you didn't have the OTAs. You had to do virtual learning and all those things, but everybody had to do that. And the quarterback numbers were through the roof because it was the easiest environment in the history of the National Football League. And now you come in the second year in the same offense and you're still making the same mistakes. At what point? Like, there is one thing.
So what is the number then?
Well, I think it varies for every guy. I mean, I think it's different for every guy, but I would tell you this. If you're making the same mistakes repeatedly over and over and over again, Mike, there comes a time, like you coached Little League Baseball. You know, if the guy makes the same mistake over and over and over again, eventually you're like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake as long as you don't repeat it. As long as you're like, oh man, I learned from that. I'm never going to do it again. Because what's going to happen? Every time you make a mistake, you know what the defense is going to do? They're going to play into that. They're going to try to force that to you. They're going to try to make you do the things that you don't do well.
But, all right, I'll tell you what. I want to carry this conversation
please.
On. And if you want to join it, please do. RamosLive.com, text line 303-713-1043. We'll get to that. Also, Peter King, always enjoy reading his Monday morning column. It's a long one. It always is. Takes you some time to read through it. But he's got a prediction. And his predictions are pretty good as to when it comes to who's going to go to and win the Super Bowl. He's pretty good. He usually gets at least one of the two teams right. So who does he have in the Super Bowl this year? And what does he think of the Broncos' playoff chances? I'll tell you next.
This is really my fault.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.